Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. My guest today is a very special new friend. Her name is Bethany Miller from the National Religious Broadcasters Association. Bethany Miller is the NRB Senior Communications Strategist and also serves as Managing Editor of the Conservador and Cross Politics News, Senior Fellow at Concerned Women for America, and serves as a contributor for the Standing for Freedom Center, American Reformer, and various other national outlets. Bethany also advises media ministries and congressional campaigns on communications, digital strategy, design, and social media, and is the owner and lead photographer of Bethany Miller Photography. Bethany, my friend, that's a lot of different hats, but thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. And yes, it is a lot of different hats. Welcome to the world of media.
That's right. I'm so excited to be sitting down here, Gaylord Opryland Hotel, Nashville, Tennessee, for the NRB convention. Again, there's so many people, 6,000 registrants, so many things going on, probably over 10,000 room nights. You guys probably have 50 keynote speakers, 250 exhibitors. It's amazing, the excitement, the energy in the room. But what God is doing is special. I saw an announcement recently, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth is in the house, and he's going to be delivering a keynote address. Speak to us just about all that goes into an event like this, but also the excitement that you have just seeing God pull it off.
Yes, yes, so much. God, the Lord is doing so much here at NRB. And year to year, we have seen tremendous growth, and we're grateful for that. It's because it's not the numbers we're grateful for. It's the impacted lives that we see. Because with these media professionals, they come in, they bank content, and they impact millions that we don't even get to see as NRB staff. So we're grateful for that because we know that the gospel is going forward on the airwaves and through media simply from just a week here at NRB once a year. So we're really grateful for that. And as you said, the Secretary of War is joining us this evening for our Freedom 250 celebration. We're grateful for that as he reminds us that we truly are, at the end of the day, one nation under God. And so we're grateful for that. And yeah, it's been a great week here at NRB. And if I may share this, this year we offered a new media lab. And so we're trying to create a more of a Titus II kind of theory here at NRB, where we've got the legacy broadcast media professionals who've been doing this a long time that can pour into the younger new media. And that's a great thing about new media, right? Because it's never been so easy to be online. If you have a cell phone and you have access to Instagram or TikTok or Twitter, and you may be in your 20s and you've got a Canva account, you can go so far. And so many influencers like that today are simply doing just that, making a pretty video or reel, and it's going everywhere. So here at NRB, we see that, and we want to bring that new media in. And so we offered a new media lab this year, media training. We had a new media reception. It was packed. We're really grateful for that. And we're trying to create this Titus II so that new media can learn from the older media and the older media can learn from the newer media.
It's remarkable what God is doing in and through just the work of NRB and the work of your family. You talked about legacy. I just sat down with your dad a few minutes ago, and the idea of legacy came up in our conversation as we were talking about you. And legacy really isn't something you leave behind for someone. It's something you put into motion or you leave behind within them. And so when I'm thinking about you and I'm looking at you after just sitting down with your dad, it's amazing just to see how we can step into legacies. I am doing that right now with my dad, right? And my greatest goal and my greatest gift is to honor that man and what God has been doing in and through his life, while also stepping into the calling that God has placed on my life. Bethany, I'd love to hear from you. Just when did God call you into this space, and how are you continuing to carry out what maybe your dad has been able to put into motion?
Yeah, absolutely. My story is quite interesting. Yes. And I actually went into college to study classical violin. I wanted to teach violin in public schools, and I had such a heart for students, and that's all I ever wanted to be. I wanted to teach high school orchestra and teach violin. That was what I felt the Lord was calling me to do. I spent a year in college and felt a lot of opposition, wrote papers about what I believed, and received several levels of censorship in many forms, and that was the first time I was like, okay, truth is under attack. And that was the first time I really felt the Lord tell me very, very plainly that you have a voice. I want you to use it. I had a Moses moment of, I don't have the words. I don't know what to say. I don't feel eloquent enough for this, Lord. You know, give me what it is that you need. And I prayed that simple prayer. Here I am, Lord, send me. And he sure did. And I honestly, I've been put in positions that I never thought working in media. So, you know, the Lord called me into media at a time I didn't think I was ready for it. And I really wasn't the first couple of years, but God was so good to me because he surrounded me by people who equipped me in the right way, including my father. And so I was given an opportunity to intern at NRB, and I had grown my way up, and I had been under his leadership and his mentorship for a very long time, whether it was professional or personal. And the cool thing, and I know you understand this, the cool thing is I get the opportunity to know him professionally, and I get to see him excel in board meetings and see him command a room, see him just really energize our team. And during our staff meetings, I love to just look at our coworkers. Like, he's sitting there speaking, I'm looking at everybody and watching how they just fill with pride, and they just feel so like energized. And it's like he's, the Lord is speaking to my dad, and my dad's giving them life. And that is the most beautiful thing. And I'm so gifted to have that. I feel so blessed to have the opportunity. My siblings don't get the opportunity to experience that because they don't work with my dad, but I get that unique opportunity because I get to see him in that sphere. And then I get to see him come home and sit down with us at dinner, and he's just dad. And that's amazing because he is the most humble man, because on the stage, he's just, you know, he's Troy Miller, and my dad has an amazing story. He never finished college and grew up on a farm, and Lord did amazing work in his life. And now he's carrying it on, and he's encouraging me to take the torch and run with it.
It's amazing what God is continuing to do in and through you both. And it reminds me of the story and just really the line that God doesn't call the equipped, right. He equips the called. And you both have been called for such a time as this. And I know God is doing incredible things for both of your lives and leadership. You know, we're talking about family here for a moment. I know you have a heart for adoption. It's a part of your story. It's a beautiful segue. It's really the story of Scripture that we can be adopted into the family of God. If you would, just give us a little bit of your background and how you really became a part of the Miller family.
Yeah. So my parents, Troy and Marcia Miller, beautiful couple in Nebraska, married young. My father was in the Navy. Both of them were not able to have children naturally. My mom suffered many miscarriages, and God placed on my parents' heart to adopt. They didn't go any other route. They just felt that the Lord was calling them to adopt. They adopted my two brothers, who are from South Korea. Wow. Through, I believe it was Holt at that time, through South Korea. And my brothers have very hard stories where, I know one of them was left on the steps of a police station, the other of a fire station, and it's just difficult in those regions. And so they adopted the two boys. They were living in South Dakota at that time, moved around quite a bit, and then relocated to Florida. And they were like, you know, we really want a girl. Let's try to adopt a girl. And my mom really wanted to adopt from China. And so they had placed at that time, and that was when Chinese adoptions were quite prevalent. And so they put in an inquest and applied and was going through the whole process. And through, you know, Chinese adoption is very lengthy. It took quite a long time. So they're in the process of adopting my sister at the time. And they got word that they were living in Florida. They got word that this young lady who was 16 had a teen pregnancy. And they were calling my parents saying, hey, we don't know the gender of this baby. We just know this is a very difficult situation. We felt like you guys would be the right applicants for it because all the other families are wanting to wait until the baby's born to see how dark it'll be because they want it to match their family. And my parents were like, yeah, we don't care. My mom goes, I don't care if she's white, if he's blue, if he's brown, I don't care what I just want whatever it is. If that's what the Lord has for us. And so at the time they put a hold on the Chinese process, and because they felt like they can only, if maybe, you know, at the time have resources for one. So they went forward with the domestic adoption, which was me. And my birth mother was 16. She immigrated here from what I understand, immigrated here with her parents, involved with a man who was a little bit older and Pakistani and Muslim. And he really, really, really encouraged her to abort me or to send me back to Pakistan and be raised Muslim. And her parents were very much like, no, we're not going to do that. And I'm still learning because I just met my biological family, but I'm learning that supposedly I had survived the abortion pill and all that. Details are still unfolding. But in short, of course, her parents had encouraged her to choose adoption. And so my parents ended up adopting me. And then the way the Lord works, the adoption in China was still going through and the paperwork came in the mail. And my now mom goes, she calls up, she goes, Troy, there's paper in the mail from China. And he goes, whatever you do, don't open it. Well, she opens it and she sees the picture of my sister and that cute little baby. And she goes, we have to have her. And, and of course, here we are. And my mom actually always wanted twins. And so my sister is from China, from Yuyang, China, and I'm from India. And she got twin girls. We look nothing alike, but we are on the inside. And so in short, yeah, I have two brothers from South Korea, my sister from China, I'm from India, and my parents are amazing. And it's the most beautiful story to be raised with, the most beautiful testimony, because all of this happened and I wasn't even aware of it. Like, wow. The Lord was so sovereign in my life. I wasn't even conscious of it. All I've ever known is what I have now. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that Hollywood has always painted a picture that of adoption where it's a broken scenario and they're going to go back and find their real parents. They're going to go home to their real parents. And maybe that's a story for some. It's not mine. And most of the adoptees I know in the adopted community, it's not theirs either, because we actually were taken, which is why, you know, when the Bible speaks of adoption in such a beautiful terminology, we were taken from a scenario that was broken, and we were given a new name. We were given the inheritance. And that was really me. My biological family is very, very broken. And when I met them, the first thing out of my lips were, praise God, I was adopted. Like, truly. Wow. Like, I truly was like, thank you, Jesus. I was seeking them out to find a sense of belonging, because I struggled a little bit. Sure, I wanted to see, you know, what my biological mother looks like. I wanted a photo. You know, that's just natural. But truly, I realized that the Lord was using me, because now I'm trying to lead my 8-year-old biological sister to Christ. And it's very difficult, but I have been on the phone with her numerous times. She was a very broken situation, drugs, has already had an abortion, following this generational trauma that I was rescued out of. And now I'm trying to take her with me. So in short, it's a long story, but adoption is a big part of my testimony, and I'm grateful for it. And I'm grateful for media, because I think we could change the narrative of adoption. So much on TikTok is trending that adoption is trauma. And I know the foster care system is broken, yeah. But I think adoptions like my stories, there are so many success adoption stories that we don't hear about. We don't talk about, like, my sister, my siblings, my brothers. We don't talk about our adoption stories because it's just us. Like, sure. It, there's nothing else unique about it. It's like, I'm the type of person, like, I sometimes forget that I don't look anything like my father. And so people see that I have the same last name and they're like, you guys look nothing alike. I said, what? Mm. We look nothing alike. Because that's how truly it is. And that's the beautiful thing about being a believer too, because when God looks upon us, he sees the blood of Christ. Amen. And when people look upon, you know, me, I think that they're just seeing the Miller name. And so anyways, I love that parallel. David Platt actually speaks really, really well on this as well. He's done so many studies, and I know his testimony with his children as well who are adopted is beautiful, but adoption is such a beautiful picture of the gospel, and it is prevalent in scripture. So I'm grateful that the Lord gave me the opportunity to also get to live that out in this world and get to really understand that biblical truth.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm your host today, Dr. Zach Clinton. We're sitting down at NRB, the convention here in Nashville, Tennessee, the Gaylord Opryland Hotel, with Bethany Miller from the National Religious Broadcasters Association. We've talked a lot, Bethany, about your story. We've talked about adoption, some of your testimony. We've talked about the cultural war and the time that we find ourselves in. And you mentioned it, right? The cancelization, the suppression, all of the things that are working against Christianity, especially in the market of media. And I think there's a lot of fear. The Anxious Generation, Jonathan Haidt, made our awareness continue to grow, and this idea of this next gen was raised not in a play-based society, but a phone-based society. And because of that, we live in a comparison culture built on perceived perfection, but also a cancel culture where people are terrified of making mistakes. And so it's a human highlight reel. There's so many things that go into this space. But at the same time, you alluded to it already, I feel like our generation is so hungry for holiness. They're so thirsty for truth. And you're seeing this stirring going on, whether it was at Asbury College a couple years ago, last week at Southeastern University, there was a revival type of spirit. The Holy Spirit filled that place and is filling all across this land. What are you seeing as it pertains to our generation? And why do you think there is this spirit of revival and this deep hunger like we've never seen before?
I truly think it's because we live in such a consumeristic world, and it's gotten more and more and more so, and where instant gratification has always been a thing. But I feel like our younger generations are getting it so quickly that they're keep adding at it, and they're realizing it is not resolving that deep core at their heart that they're missing. And so, and we've seen this in polls. We've seen that there are groups that are young men were really returning to orthodoxy and see it like they're searching for something deeper. So we've seen that like actual data showing that a large percentage of young men are searching. And then we're starting to see a little bit, young women are a little bit harder to reach. But we see that there's a little bit of hope there that they could pivot on their head too. But I truly believe it's because, you know, artificial intelligence is on the rise and everything seems so fake. And I think Gen Z is really starting to call it out. I know so many think that they don't know any better, but I actually do think that they're very intelligent. They're a very intelligent generation because they just have this communication at the tips of their fingers. Now, what I do worry about is the biblical illiteracy, because they do have communication at the tips of their hands, but then they also have a lack of understanding of the word, which is where as us Christian communicators and us as in church and in media, church media need to step up in that. But I really do believe that there's hope there, because we've seen an uptick in Bible sales. We've seen a return to orthodoxy. We've seen, even if we want to talk social media, because that's where I specialize, we've even seen like my friends at Liberty, who are making beautiful graphics that they're standing for Freedom Center. Those who quip the mic and bear the mic, bear media, are to do is to put that out there for Gen Z to rally behind. We're supposed to give that alternative truth, because as Christians, if we continue to pull back in fear, there's a vacuum. Something else is going to fill it. Something else is digitally discipling all the time. And so when we pull back, it's not just, okay, we're gonna wait and see, just pray and let the Lord, you know, hope he fills it. The Lord's in us, we fill it. So that's kind of what I'm seeing. And I am seeing a return to traditional values. I am seeing a return, because I think they're tired. I think they're seeking. I know it, because I'm in the weeds at church. I'm in student ministry. I'm boots on the ground. I work with students, and they are just, especially young women. The comparison is never before. When I was growing up, iPhone was brand new. I got my first smartphone at 16. And so, you know, I had this flip phone, and my sister and I shared it. And so, you know, I can't even imagine what it'd be like to have an iPhone at such a young age now, and access to the world. And the comparison can be unreal, especially for the mental health of a young woman. But I think they're seeking genuine, because tech is not, because artificial intelligence is not, it's not real intelligence, it's artificial. And we know that at the end of the day, the one who made the intelligence is the one we're seeking.
Wow. You know, like you said, and C.S. Lewis put it this way, the only thing the church cannot be is moderately important, especially in this day, in this age, in this hour. And so I'm just thinking the church cannot retreat. They cannot react. They have to regain their courage. They have to reclaim their voice. And that's what I'm grateful for, you know, just organizations and ministries and associations like NRB, because what you guys do is you make sure when the church, what they love to do, I think our natural default is to silo ourselves off, to become competitive rather than collaborative. It's being able to recognize when we get together, when we lock arms, when we join hands, what the church can do in unity is far better than anything an organization or a single church can do by themselves. And so Bethany, speak to again, just the importance to, let's just say ministers, pastors, leaders, influencers out there, the importance of finding, in a sense, collaborative work to do together as a common good with a common vision and a common mission.
Absolutely. There was a time in the West when pastors were the guiding voice. They were the moral authority. It was where, and ultimately pointing to truth, they're like bars and brothels were non-existent. Right. They were empty. And we saw that societies flourished like none other because the church was the force that was leading the way. Mm-hmm. Pastors were speaking with courage because they were simply just preaching the full counsel of God. And that is all we're called to do, is to open that Bible and to preach it all the way through, expositorially preaching the word of God, the full counsel of God, and not shy away from it. That is what we're called to do as believers, whether that is from the pulpit, whether that is behind a mic, whether that is on a graphic online. That is what I really am, and that at NRB too, we're really wanting to equip pastors. That's why we do all these media trainings. That's why we do all this at NRB, is to bring pastors together, to connect them, because so many say, it's interesting to be in the secular world when you hear people say, well, Christians are so divisive. They have so many denominations. Well, actually, denominations are a beautiful thing, because you're able to worship where the Lord thinks that you can worship most faithfully. Wow. Because we have different tiers of doctrine, and you may worship differently. You may baptize babies. You may not baptize babies, you know, different ways, you know, like we're all going to link arms. I'm going to link arm, you know, if we're a Baptist, if you're Presbyterian, if you're Methodist, it don't matter, because at the end of the day, we're trying to get the gospel on the airwaves. We're trying to get the gospel out there. We're trying to save souls, hearts, and minds. Mm-hmm. And God has, you know, the Lord has told us in the scripture, we're supposed to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And we lack the mind so much. And that's why we have such a waging information war, because we can't think critically, because we don't know truth.
Yes.
And so that is what I want to see, because way back when tech wasn't even a thing, because we have different challenges then, way back when we had this Black Roads Regiment and it led the way. We need a return to that. And at NRB, what we're doing behind the scenes, and we're hoping to hear soon, you know, we've got a big takedown coming soon, but we're hoping that's going to create more pulpit freedom. And it's not giving you a right you didn't already have. It's just restoring it. You already had this right. It's not even thinking new. You had it. You're just taken from you. So pastors should be able to have that courage to lead the way, to influence the way it's supposed to. And Romans talks about how government is supposed to operate, and always talks about the sphere of sovereignty, which I love that theory so much, that God has, you know, there's government and there's civil, and then there's the church, and it all overlaps. And it's the church that is to give it's the church that is to give to the needy. It's the church that is to give to the poor. It's the church that is to provide for those struggling mentally, those who are struggling, whether it may be, it's the church. It's not the government. It's not anything else. It's the church that's going to give the answer. And that's what the way it used to be. And we've gone way past that. We have programs now that replace. We have counselors who don't know biblical truth that are giving false narratives, are giving false hope, that are telling you that, you know, self-help is the way, that you're going to nurture yourself. And that's that, you know, and I know you guys know this more than me, but that's a tricky thing with Gen Z, because they're covered with this self-help, covered with this, I'm the answer and I'm the ultimate God. I think that's where we're at. I think that's where we're headed. And I think as churches, we need to band together. As Christians, we need to band together in this, because we're all in it for the same thing.
Amen. You know, there's a lot of people, probably somebody out there today who maybe feels like they've drifted away, maybe feels discouraged or disappointed. The big word in Christianity is deconstructed. They've begun to doubt who their God is. But the book of Hosea says that even in the valley of Achor, a valley of suffering, a valley of wandering, that when we return to the Lord, a door of hope will be opened wide unto us. I love that charge. Just return to the Lord and make sure that we keep the main thing, the main thing. Bethany, I asked this to your dad as I closed with him, but I want to ask you the same question. With all the different hats that you wear, all the different leadership roles that you possess, how can we be praying for you?
That it's the Lord that's on my lips, that it's the Lord that's on my heart, and it's the Lord that's on my mind always. Because like I said, I don't want it to be me that's heard. I don't want it to be me that's seen. I don't want it to be me that's invited. I want it to be the Lord every time. I want everything that I say and do be to the glory of God. I know that's how Troy feels. I know that's how NRB is. Because at the end of the day, NRB was founded in 1944 by a group of pastors who banded together because the time radio was the medium and many wanted to kick them off, to censor it. And they banded together and like, we're going to form this National Religious Broadcasters because we know this is how the gospel goes out. I know this is how the gospel goes out on social media, on new media, to a lost and dying generation. To a generation that is seeking, that is hopeful, that is listening, that I truly believe that the Lord has elected and has said, this is my people, but I'm using you to reach them. So I'm going to reach through you to reach them. And I'm sitting here with hands wide open going, Lord, here I am, send me. So just pray that everybody here at NRB is arms wide open, 6,000 people here, arms wide open that says, here I am, send me. Because imagine 6,000 people, 6,000 broadcasters. They were to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Imagine the impact, the millions reached. That's my prayer. That's my hope. That's what I ask of you.
The trickle effect. My dad, I remember years ago, he said this, Zach, God has no greater joy than using people like you and me as conduits or vessels through which he channels his message of hope, encouragement, and really light into a dark and hurting world. Bethany, you are doing that very thing. I pray that God and the Lord would always be found on your lips. Thank you so much just for sharing your wealth of wisdom, your knowledge, your experience with us. Thank you for what God has called you to and your obedient yes every single day. We are with you. We stand with you. We pray for you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Zach.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.